Good morning, planet Earth. The Gizzleberries are currently ungloveliating. The piss worms are working their way through the dirt. The Jergen flowers are blooming. Look outside your door, you motherfucker. There's some type of creature in the woods. It stares at your home at night. Its eyes glow red and green. It's really, really mean. And it's coming to take care of business, baby, because it is July the 2nd, 2024. 2024 Bo Blimp Doc. Everything's on sale. Everything's on sale. Yeah. It's around 6:37 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. The world is just waking up, baby. Whatever the fuck that means. You know, there's very little these days that you could refer to as the news that is something you'd actually want to read. Even the stuff that seems optimistic. And there's some stuff out there right now. You say, well, Dan, isn't it good news about Marine Le Pen? Well, I know his dad's happy. But isn't that Malay guy? Isn't that great news in Argentina's? And what about El Salvador? They're mining Bitcoin and putting bad people in prison camps. It's soccer stadium time in South America again. It really is. But if you meditate on all these good news coping monkeys that they've tossed at us, to include the release of Julian Assange and all this other what's it, if you include in this entire picture that debate, that debate, I didn't really watch it, but my Schadenfreude, you know, basically pushed through the two wolves. We both have two wolves. Well, they both got, you know, given a Mickey, you know, some hamburger with some sleeping pills. My Schadenfreude handed out hamburger with sleeping pills to the two wolves inside of me. So I kind of had to watch little glimpses of the debate. And from what I could tell, it was an over-the-top display of somebody suffering from dementia debating with somebody that I wouldn't buy a used car from. You know, that's it. That was the debate to me. Used car salesman versus what's wrong with grandpa. What's wrong with grandpa, Uncle June? What's wrong with grandpa? He doesn't look so good. What's wrong with grandpa? He doesn't know where he is. What's wrong with Gramps? Yeah, what's wrong with grandpa? Versus sleazy car salesman that you just wouldn't buy a car from. That was the debate. And there's this, you know, intriguing Schadenfreude pathway by which I can speculate on such things and ask myself, is it possible that a month from now, we have two completely different people running for president? Because, you know, yeah, but Dan, didn't you hear about the SCOTUS saying that President Trump or any president has some type of fucking immunity because they're blah? Yeah, I heard about all that shit. I think he's also still being sentenced on 7-11. That's a magical number. Yeah, I think Trump is also being sentenced on July the 11th. And at that point, in about a week and a half, I guess we find out, right? About a week, a little over a week, we find out. But I can't tell you. It's Sepracon. On this day in 1865, the Zlogon forces of General Chives defeated the pirate lesbian navies of Queen Kuzba. All you armies are on alert. They're out there in Sector 3 looking for monkey pie. All you barmies are on alert. When the Rimulak Dire Priest froze the Witch of Foof, we knew the Gorgon would relinquish their control of Quadrant 55, and the Jupe throng from Bunkton rose up against Mr. Willie's and their all-day-long Chinese buffet. And who stood up to that? The swarthy and dusky Grobe legions from Texas Roadhouse. On this date in 1865, Dr. Sclevis McDougall discovered the healing power of sorbitol. He healed the orphans of Sector 88 and left the woody blowbin rascals to die in the lost desert of Tlib. On this day in 1865, the Harlot Minx forces of Genda Shloob took on the Dragon Warriors in Region X-Ray. After several days of fighting, the women folk of all the tribes tore off all their clothes and wrestled naked in the hooker pits of Colorado, not far from Denver. We honor on this day in 1865 the great battle between Captain Avatar of the Argo and the Nazi robot forces of Hisler, the Time Hitler. After several parallel and ongoing time wars, the Star Force under Avatar was victorious. But the timeline still sucks, motherfucker. There was this day in 1865, on June the 19th to be precise, when Clint Jackson of the 45th Xerxes Division defeated MS-13 in the Battle of Gipsy. 45 million people were killed that day when the Death Star fired its X-ray and everyone learned that they were gay. But what about, you know, Sklubbenjergs that fought the Skugus Knights? Well, I'll tell you, buddy, on this day, 1865, Woog soldiers were moving meth to the Roman armies at Constantinople. When Wolfman Jack told the bellkeepers to wrestle crocs in Baltimore. But we never knew the horrors of egomaniacs and spez dormers, the ones that lived in the gutters and told tales of squirrel macaroni. That's Seprocon too. When will we tell the truth about Seprocon? When will we tell the truth about the crimes it covers up and the false heroes it erects? Seprocon. When will the Grizzly Adams types go back into the woods to harvest the owl clams, to feed on cougar spice and trout tacos? Your time is now, Grizzly Adams, and the breed is born late. You don't know. You can't see. On this day in 1865, motherfucker. There were 12 henchmen, armed with cucumber crossbows and singing songs of Goobernut pizza. We could have been kings, but we sold our peanut butter heritage for 500 acres and a Tesla. The glowing light of liberty was put out, and the government cheese cave was emptied. A lot of folks are celebrating Seprocon by eating barbecue. This is racist. Some of you are watching Dave Chappelle while drinking a chilled white wine. This is also racist. I can see you're just grilling and chilling, smoking a doobie and listening to Bob Marley. This is so fucking racist. Whiteness, what a curse. Whiteness, oh boy, it's mainly about the Bleak Horror Show that is the permanently disenfranchised slave cadres whose ancestors lived in a jungle hell and fought hard and lived thoroughly while harvesting cotton for an evil manor lord who would whip and beat but never look at his own broken soul, you know, Seprocon. Why can't we fight for totalistic racialist justice? And I mean, baby, using particle beam weapons. We could build star cruisers powered by advanced fission fusion reactors patrolling the edge of our solar system at 15% the speed of light. Our dog-chasing ways was distorted, and we settled for failed styrofoam schemes and wooden dreams, and Sepracon left us cold. On day one of the race war, Zoglon demons will ride Harleys down to Compton so that the East LA freak gangs can sell Latinx pill Boovula to the skulls. Kids from the Wonder Bread realm will score crank from Sam, but someone's gonna go for a train ride, probably your sister. They want to pass laws legalizing Tug Meat, did you hear that? Tug Meat is neat. It's made from old discarded loved ones and delinquent youth running from the man. The local store says appealing shapes. Bacon, steak, dogs, lasagna, Tug Meat in appealing shapes. And you say you're broke and you ain't got a fucking dime. But on this day in 1865, the time was set. And we rose up against Darth Vader. And we fought back against Leader Deslock. And we prevented Time Hitler from disturbing the future. We sent him to an abyss far, far, far away. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, okay? When you're handing out shovels and anti-tank rockets to professors of philosophy, when you're rounding up people on the street to fight and giving rifles to prisoners and people with mental disabilities, it's probably over. Someone should tell you it's over. It's all over, baby. Let Heidegger drink a beer. If you're handing out Panzerfaust, which are these, you know, anti-tank guns that the Germans mass-produced towards the end of World War II, if you're handing out the Panzerfaust to, you know, Martin Heidegger and giving him a shovel to dig ditches, the simplest statement at this point is, it's over, okay? I mean, Martin joined the party so he could keep his fucking job, let's get real. I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, baby, but hey, some people just care about their fucking careers and, you know, ancient Greek philosophy. Now, why do I mention this Dr. Freckles quote? Because the war in the Ukraine, at least the hot war, I'd argue the cold war of the Ukraine started in 2014, but the hot war that started in 2022, it's been going on more than a couple years. And if you'd asked me in March of 2022, if this war were still happening in 2024, what would that indicate? I'd tell you one possibility is it's bullshit on all sides. Now, you could say, well, Dan, you know, Putin is playing that eight-dimensional chess. Maybe. But I know enough about Russian history to know this, that A, Putin is far from the worst guy they've ever had, and B, there are people way worse than fucking Putin waiting to take over. And then you have this information about the ATACMS strike in Crimea. Yeah, it didn't kill as many people as the Israeli military is currently killing in Gaza, but it killed some folks who were just at the beach, and it has really bad optics when you think about it. Is it real? Is it fake? You tell me. But let's play pretend. Let's play pretend that the Ukraine war is real. And let's play pretend that, you know, Vladimir Putin is his own independent agent in all this. I don't really believe it, but let's play pretend. Let's play pretend. If you've reached the point in your war where you have to round up people on the streets to fight, and you don't really have the money to pay them, which is a critical issue here, then you've reached the point in the war when it's over. If most of your military is composed of mercenaries, fine. You know, you can say NATO is filling in the gaps, fine. But if most of your military is composed of mercenaries, you know, it's kind of like the King of England during the English Civil War. If you have to bring in the Spanish and the Irish to fight the roundheads, you probably have lost. I'd say that any reasonable military assessment of the Ukraine at this point is that the best move for the Ukraine, which was the best move from the beginning, is to negotiate a peace. And you could say, well, Dan, NATO has to keep it going and they need it for money laundering. And I hear all that. I hear it. But I'm trying to play pretend that this is real. If this is remotely real, then this has been the most dangerous period of military history in a long time. And understand this about that debate the other night. During the Cold War, believe it or not, during the Cold War, organizations like the RAND Corporation, the Brookings Institution, various universities like Princeton and Harvard and Yale and other places. During the Cold War, people thought about scenarios involving the Soviet Union. And one of the scenarios that freaked people out the most was, what if no one's in charge? Believe it or not, that was a scenario people wargamed for, because from the perspective of the West, that seemed like a possibility. Who's in charge? We don't know who's in charge. What if you had a power vacuum in the Kremlin? And one of the quote-unquote reasonable solutions was something called a surgical nuclear strike, which means that at that moment where you think that the center of power is no longer holding, then, you know, push it over. Would that have been the smartest thing to do? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say what the Soviets were capable of. I do know that in the 1960s, the CIA majorly amped up the Soviet threat. And one of the outcomes of Lieutenant Belenko flying the, you know, MiG-25 Fox Bat to Japan in 1976 was to learn that these technologies that we thought the commies were building that were so scary and advanced, they were just mostly crap. A lot of the missiles that the CIA scared people about during the missile gap would never have been able to, they couldn't have fired them. You know? So it's hard to say what the truth is about the Soviet threat during the Cold War. It's hard to say. It kind of depends upon your perspective, you know? But if this particular conflict is remotely real, then in my opinion, yeah, it's over. Next topic. Yeah, you know, so I went and got a colonoscopy. And the doctor gave me a briefing after my colonoscopy. It was the first colonoscopy I've ever had. It was my first anal probe. They put the probe up my butt. And then the doctor brought me back for a consultation. And he said, Dan, I'd like you to look at this video. And it was kind of scary. And I said, Doctor, what can we do? And he said, Dan, there's only one thing we can do. We got to take off. We got to get off the planet and nuke your colon from space. It's the only way. Dan, get on the starship. No, you've got to stay behind. We're going to all take off into space and nuke your fucking colon. I'm kidding, right? They're not going to nuke my colon from space yet. Next topic. Dan, it's Seprocon. It is Seprocon. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, and this is for all you lords and ladies and societies for created anachronisms and worship of kings and queens. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. A knighthood is simply another way of tricking someone. A knighthood is just another sham to make you take an oath to the devil. Yes. Dr. Freckles, a knighthood is simply another way of tricking someone into taking an oath to the devil. We as Christians, if you're a Christian, it's okay if you're not, but if you're a Christian, we can have reasonable debates about the meaning of things and curses and whatnot. But if you've ever read 1 Samuel chapter 8, I think it's fairly uncontroversial that the Lord in heaven doesn't really want us to have kings and queens. You can debate, well, Dan, but he would be okay with representative. I hear you, buddy. I know. If I was registering voters, I would have these plastic cards I'd hand out. Like, I'd set up a table in the park, you know, for voter registration, and people would come up to my table and say, can I register? And I'd say, yes, you can. You know, just sign this piece of paper here, and here's your little plastic card. And on the plastic card, there'd only be one thing written in large red letters. I am retarded. I am retarded. I registered the vote. I got a plastic card. It tells me I'm retarded. Yeah. We can debate that, okay? We can have, you know, conversations as Christians about whether or not democracy and a constitutional republic and social fucking contract is a meaningful thing. But what is uncontroversial is that the Lord said explicitly, if you have kings and queens, there's going to be trouble. This is an actual curse. This curse has never been lifted. In fact, the elders of Israel went back to Samuel a bit later and said, oh, you know what? You were right. These kings suck. These kings, they steal your goat. These kings suck. They have parties all night long. They take your silver and gold. They hire priests to say it's okay. These kings suck. They suck. You know? I believe it was Samuel's farewell, where they basically said, you're right, or rather, the Lord was right. And in some ways, the curse of 1 Sam 8 isn't as much a curse as it's just sort of logic. Like, if you understand the story of your people, if you know that you have but one Lord, you start getting confused when you have two or three. By the way, that's one of the reasons why we shouldn't have graven images. It isn't to say we shouldn't worship the Lord, but you can't really make an image of infinite love. Not really. Like, you could say the world itself is a monument to that, but can you actually make an image of infinite love? Well, Dan, the cross. Well, I hate to break it to you, but that's not that simple either. No graven images, right? No false representations. There is but one Lord. He had but one Son. Anyways, next topic. Don't take a knighthood, because you're going to get in trouble with that bullshit. It's a satanic oath. Here we go. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. He said, you're getting your just desserts. He said, Dan, you're going to get your just desserts. And I thought he meant we're going to skip the meal and just have chocolate cake. That man with the dirty eyes, that man with the shaky fist, that man who was my grist, he said I'd get my just desserts. And I thought we were just going to miss, you know, skip the meal and just have desserts. Yeah. Just desserts. Anyways, next topic. That was stupid. I thought we were just gonna have desserts. No, that's not what that means. But I'll tell you what, buddy, watch out. I don't know. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. If there were hanging gardens in Babylon, then they must have been anarchists. I'm just gonna leave it there. I don't know. That's a dumb quote. Dumb quote. Dumb quote, next topic. Move along, move along, move along. This next one, I don't know if I want to talk about it too much. I wrote down a lot of garbage. It's kind of a rant to myself. The problem is it relates to an issue that I'm not entirely sure is something we should invest a lot of time in. But instead of just completely ignoring this topic, I'm just going to say the following. You can be opposed to the state of Israel and how it was founded, and you can still be a person who doesn't hate Jewish people. You can. Or hate Jews or hate Hebrews. You can be a person who's opposed to ethnic cleansing and murder, and that doesn't make you an anti-Semite. You can be opposed to the philosophy of Zionism, which, in my opinion, is kind of a spooky, spooky perspective. It's something where you really have to look into Theodor Herzl and that entire story to understand where it's coming from. But you can be opposed to Zionism, and that doesn't make you an anti-Semite. Now, having said that, I believe a lot of issues are currently being used to divide people. And this has always been true. I mean, this is a thing that, governments have done forever. But since 2020, I also believe they've turned up the volume on it significantly, to the point that I don't like being around people because any given moment I expect to hear somebody rant about some subgroup that's doing something to them. Oh, I saw a video on Twitter, Dan. It showed a bunch of kids going into a Target and stealing shit. Oh, we know what that means. Oh, Dan, I saw a video on TikTok. It showed a Hebrew crawling out of a tunnel. I wonder what that means, Dan. I saw dancing nurses. I saw beheadings. I saw an alien ship. And the Navy pilot promises he or she is telling the truth. I'd also add this in. Do I think there are conspiracies that kind of run the world? How can I phrase this? I've said this a lot in the last few years because it's become clear to me. I'm going to drink a little bit of coffee first. It's become kind of obvious to me, that the oldest profession is grifter, that the most polished profession is con artist, that it's been around since the beginning. Arguably, Lucifer was the first great con artist, and everybody since then has been trying to measure up. These are not people who have a grand plan to build a great civilization. These are people that have a plan to rip people off until they can no longer do it. And then at the point when the party's over and there's nothing else they can steal, their next big idea is, how the fuck do I get out of town without anybody knowing about it? How do I do that? Could it be deeper than that? Could it involve reptilians and ancient cabals? Could it involve an alien sanctuary or potentially the World Economic Forum? Could it involve the Chinese and the Chinese communists and all the communists? Well, if I thought they had any intelligence, maybe. It could involve all kinds of things. It's kind of like what I've said about government. It's a lot like leaving food around. If you want pests, if you want ants, then you leave a lot of garbage around. If you want raccoons and other creatures to visit you. If you want communists, you have government. If you want to fix the communism problem, you get rid of government. The problem is people don't understand that. And so they say, well, can't I have my special gimmies in that kind of Goodfellas sense? Can I get my no-show job? And my answer is, your no-show job is thievery. Communists know this. They'll figure out their way to get their own no-show jobs. And you're going to find out really fast that communists can use government better than you can. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for breaking your heart. And that doesn't even get into the military-industrial complex, which is the giant, giant super grift that keeps on grifting. Now, did I say anything about Jewish people just now? No. And I could tell you the banking industry is the same way. It's a big con. And it's not a con that can last forever, is also kind of my point. There is a time for any great con or grift when you kind of have to get out of town. And so all these things are going to fail. But in any of this, does it have anything to do with being Hebrew or the Old Testament or being Jewish? And the answer is no. These are the ancient features of the human character that go right back to the beginning. These are the sources of sin. Okay, if you don't want grifters in charge, if you don't want communists, you need to cut back on your government, but you don't want to because it gives you stuff, you fucking commie. And that's the truth. People bitch and moan about communists and then take their government check. People bitch and moan about communists, but then they want to go drop bombs on somebody. Who's paying for that shit? People bitch and moan about communists, but then they love their COVID loans and their easy fed money to keep their housing pyramid going. But you hate communists, though. You hate the communists, yeah. People complain about communists, but they love their government money. And all I can tell you is if you're taking the government money, and that includes everybody, including me, you're some type of fucking communist. You may not want to be one. You may be like Kira in We the Living by Ayn Rand. You may be stuck behind enemy lines. You may be eking out your living the best way you can. But the fact is, if you're taking a little, it's a little bit of communism. And this is the thing that people don't want to confront. None of us do. That this entire country is a giant fucking grift. That we are a giant pirate ship. That in reality, if you want to say, where's the Death Star, you're living on it. That's the truth. That's the nicest interpretation of events. And as all things with Death Stars, eventually they explode. And I, you know, that's spoiler alert, right? But, you know, next topic, right? Next topic, Dan. You son of a bitch. So I went to my doctor and got the colonoscopy. And one of the things he told me is that I'm herpes clear. I'm 100% herpes clear. I wanted to contract herpes with Shirley, the dock walker, down by the wharf. She has dark eyes. She tells crazy lies. She lives with 9 cats named Dog. She works the late nights, and it's out of sight when the sky bear calls and the kitten paradise opens her legs. I met her the first time at Buck's retirement party after he lost his boat to the lamprey near Sitka. And I swore I felt a lukewarm grease as I made her feel the full pipe. But even with that swipe, I'm still herpes clear. I used to hang out with Durr Brothers down by Hagensville, where the pavers went on strike and the roads have turned to dust. There was this wench woman named Frida who ran with a protein hustle for Doc Torg and the Ballard Vikings. She had a smear made of mites and frog testicles and fever sweat. She'd mix in some American cheese and other spices. She swore it would give me herpes, but I'm still herpes clear. I'm herpes clear. Fuck. When I was stationed in Korea, I met some chicks downrange. It's a term of art. If you know, you know. I bought their drinks. It was part of the kink. They tell me about Eight-Way Charlie, and I'd ask, are you herpes clear? They weren't, but it didn't matter. I tried to go to Aces with the midget of Tokari, but I got lost in the sage grass and Cody-style crotch massages. Her lips were covered in sores, and more, she didn't care about that weird red drip. I knew it was there. If I could, I would contract herpes and take it home so that all my friends could say, Dan, you're not herpes clear. That would have been something, but I'm still herpes clear. China has created a herpes virus that manifests as cheeseburgers growing on your skin. In partnership with the Gates Foundation and the Vatican, they got this virus that will cause outbreaks of tiny cheeseburgers on your skin. You can just cut them off and eat them. They're like little engineered tumors that taste like cheeseburgers. But you won't be herpes clear. But yeah, I'm herpes clear. That's what the doctor said. I just don't know what to tell you. I say, Dan, it sounds like you wanted the herpes. I want something. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Dating. They're all harlots and witches. I have Cinemax and Shannon Tweed. What about Tracy Lord? I got Tracy Lord too. Next topic. Next topic. That was dirty. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. There are no lifeguards in an ocean full of people treading water or drowning. There are no lifeguards. You know, I know people, and I've met people in the liberty movement who are authentic, real folks, but also, you know, believe something that I sometimes have a hard time with, and that is that you might not be able to help anybody at this point. Like, you probably can't help very many people. You might be able to help your own family. You might be able to connect with folks in your own community. But you should be careful. And it's not that I disagree with it. It's just that I'm not good at it. I'm not good at sort of looking away. It's not to say that it's wrong to look away. But brothers and sisters, if you live in a city and you are trying to stay sane, my wager is you look away a lot. And why not? What else are you going to do? You live on the Death Star. If that giant laser cannon takes out a planet, are you going to meditate on it? Or go get yourself a nice fruit drink from that new smoothie place? Get the banana. Get banana and lemongrass. Mix in some orange. A green apple, carrot, and just don't look at anything other than that glowing rectangle. I've thought a lot about this. But the fundamental truth is, in an ocean of people who are drowning or treading water, there really are no lifeguards. It's almost an academic discussion. Okay, at this point, I don't know anybody that can help somebody else without putting themselves at risk. I'm going to repeat that statement. At this point in 2024, I don't know anybody that is able to help anyone else other than themselves. And if there are people out there with excess resources, most of them are in a deeply delusional state. And if they opened up their mind to the possibility that they might need to help somebody, all of a sudden, one of their balloons, one of their psychological pyramid schemes starts to fall apart. But I don't know that many people like that either. In fact, pretty much everybody I know is treading water or drowning. So show me the fucking lifeguard, you know? I try to help people, and then I figure out that I start sinking. And other people, they try to help me, and then they figure out they start sinking. And you could say, well, Dan, can't we all just swim towards an island? No. For purposes of this thought experiment, you have to kind of assume that there's no magical fucking island. That you're out in the middle of the fucking ocean, you're treading water, some people around you are actually drowning. And you got to ask yourself who the fuck the lifeguard is. And the answer is nobody. Nobody. Not on Earth. I mean, is there a Lord in heaven that cares? I believe so. But in terms of human beings, there ain't no fucking lifeguard. And that's kind of the truth of government, too. Like, if you were to say, Dan, don't you want to live in a community that cares about, like, old people and injured people and people with disabilities? And the simple answer is, yes, I do. But the problem is, you can't make that your whole society. Like, if everybody in your society basically is wounded in some way, psychologically or physically or both, then what do? Other than wait around to die? You have to have enough people in any society that actually do shit like grow food and, you know, care for the sick and know how to do stuff like engineering-wise. You have to have enough people actually getting shit done. And they have to have a reason to get shit done. And the best reason is self-interest. But if you build around yourself a Death Star, those people, they kind of stop giving a fuck. That's what happened to me, to tell you the truth. I stopped giving a fuck. I stopped caring that much about my bullshit to want to put in the time to pay the taxes to participate. I stopped giving a fuck. Could I be living someplace nicer than a camper right now? Hells yeah. You know? Sure I could. Although I'd probably be awaiting a pink slip like many others. Because I think things are about to get a lot worse when it comes to that. But yeah, I could be sitting around someplace at a corporation. I could be working at a hospital. I could be pulling in a nice paycheck, you know, mid six figures, have myself a busty wife and several kids. Maybe a couple of them will have gender issues, right? You know, if I'm lucky. Or autism or cancer or diabetes. I could be doing the things that other people are doing just to get by. But the fact is, most of the people I know and I've met in the last decade, and this includes people that make good money, they are psychologically, financially, or both just treading water. And no one has the extra energy to be the fucking lifeguard. As Dr. Freckles said, there are no lifeguards in an ocean full of people treading water or drowning. That's it. Next topic. So it's a dumb topic when you think about it. Let's get back to my doctor's visit. You know? Because he started writing weird beatnik poetry after my colonoscopy. He started telling stories of vistas and far-off lands, reminiscent to Lovecraftian descriptions from At the Mountains of Madness. He told of ancient caverns and valleys where weird buffalo roam, and there are people there. There are people there. He said there are strange things and lights in the darkness. It's all in your colon, Dan. No, he said if you wanted the best description, Dan, of your colonoscopy, think about the Star Trek movie. The first movie, you know, that the one that had that really boring scene of overviewing or flying over V'ger. You know, they're flying over V'ger for like 10 minutes. It's a lot like the camera going through your colon, Dan. I felt like I was in that part, but I wasn't so bored, Dan. I was frightened. Frightened. I was scared. And they started firing missiles at the camera, Dan. And some of those missiles, they looked like they might have damaged it eventually. That's what's in your colon. Anyways, next topic. Come on, Dan. Shouldn't you be treating your colon better? Fuck you. It's my life. Fuck you. No one's talking about it. I have word that the 39 sector lords are forming up a coalition to embark on a multi-level adventure in Mexico, and nobody is talking about it. They started selling Scroob Juice at Bendicker Station in Splunkton. They dump rotten crab from the dying sea there. They sort out orange Klib crab and etch out a pain soup from Nothing Burgers. Torn dresses and burning crosses with dirt-clawed mourning for the nuns at the dump. And our bread salad is coming. And no one sleeps tonight. And nobody's talking about it, not at all. The Russians and the Chinese are building tunnels underneath your house, Dan. If you stay up late at night till 1 or 2 a.m., you can put your ear to the floor of your home, and you can hear them drilling and mining and making those tunnels. And you already reported this to the cops, so they came by and shot your dog. And nobody's talking about it, just quiet crickets out there. Rouge shock armies are moving through your town. Rouge lipstick-driven shock armies are moving through your town. They drive around old vans and have rubber cans filled with cat urine and meth. They're rounding up people, old and young, training them to use the spear, training them to use the stone. And some nights they go down to Brady's Food Shack and they hang out and eat curly fries. And not a word, not a single sound. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody mentions it, Dan. There are dust plumes coming from Africa, Dan. They are filled with GMO mosquitoes that carry tiny little needles filled with warp speed Mega Man vaccines. When the bird flu gives your friend Betty the red meanies, well, you can be sure that the dust plume will help. And riding on that storm is Den Rexler, an old friend of Jim Morrison. And the gates are opened up for old stray monsters. And the Kraken moves east towards Stragleyville. And no one is sitting down for coffee with their friends and talking about it, not even for tea or beer or crack. Mark Cuban got hacked, did you hear? But nobody's talking about it. He was out late with Tom Cruise and Charlie Sheen. They were eating Horby's organic Youg cream and hoping Jude Law might show up. And afterwards, Kendrick and Drake did a drive-by and shot six dudes selling apples near the off-ramp. And Mark, he ended up having sex with Tara Gitzy. Mark, he ended up having sex with Tara Gitzy, and she runs a show on Hollywood Boulevard not far from Creeby's Bohemian Theater. And Mark Cuban got hacked. Mega Man might go to jail, but his new name will be Orange Cream. He'll run the dust trade on the inside of prison, getting good Colombian yayo from his pal in Denver. He'll beef up on roids and get into fights and probably get hooked on Kentucky-style lovemaking in the showers with Pedro, aka Jenny. And all the Mega Man folks will wander aimlessly in red hats. And not a word from Harold Ding, why? American cities are boiling over with sin and violence and meth-style real estate pyramid schemes. The good homeowners sit at home as the Scroglon armies form up down the street. You'll be amazed at how quickly the food runs out, and then it's flesh parlors and bunctious beef and stripper-style booze parties and coke. There'll be a lot of coke. The whores are being driven from Vroomington to the outskirts of Vorttown. They bring their wastrel waifs and various pocket captains and metal spikes for eyes. They've been pushed too far, and now they're forming gangs and troops and issuing orders. And some of these hookers are camping out at the park near your house, not far from where you walk your dog. And they're choosing overlords. And one of them looks like Pam Grier, scantily clad and full of onyx power. They will lead an attack on the chick prison in the Everglades, where the pog cauldron overflows. And no one's talking about it. Nobody except for me. Talking about it. Anyways, it is what it is, Seprocon. It's Seprocon. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. While it's true the price of food has gone up, the quality of food has gone down. It's true the price has gone up, but the quality's gone down, so it all evens out. Yes, the price of food has gone up, but the quality has gone down. And so it balances. I don't want to spend too much time on that quote. I think enough Americans are aware of it. I bought some apples the other day and I spent $8. And all I can tell you is for the $8 of apples, maybe I got 5 or 6 that were not going rotten. 5 or 6 apples for $8. But that's still not a day's wages for a loaf of bread, is it? So it seems like we got a ways to go yet, right? Got a ways to go. A day's wages for a loaf of bread. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, that's great. I'm trying to keep my mind trying to not go crazy and still do stuff like this and believe it's worthwhile. I'm not sure what to tell you. I'm kind of losing my mind. But since I'm losing my mind and I'm still podcasting, you may or may not get enjoyment out of it. I don't know. Before you donate to any podcast, mine included, listen to the following disclaimer. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. Before you donate to a random podcast on the internet, make sure your food, water situation, shelter situation's taken care of, okay? If there are people in your life that need help, especially if you're building a community right now, it's not communist to be kind. In fact, if you understand what kindness is and you realize what it is, you realize it's not communism. It's okay to be kind. If there are people in your life that need help right now, sure, you're probably treading water too, but if before you send any help my way, help the people in your life first. If you're setting aside food, extra food, I don't think that's dumb. I don't think anybody has a basement big enough, but if you set aside 6 months worth of food, extra food, because you're an optimist, make sure you're thinking about your cat or your dog. Do that before you donate to a random podcast like mine. And remember, as crazy as stuff is, and it is crazy, it is. Let's be honest. Can we all be honest? It's batshit crazy. But as fucking crazy as it is, I personally still don't think it's the end of the world. it's not the end of the world. However, a lot of convenient shopping and other things might be on pause for a while. Who knows how long, right? So while the convenient shopping and the restaurants, and you can still take out a home HELOC type loan to buy a steak, while you can still do those things, before you donate to a random podcast, do those things. I'm not saying waste your money on irrelevant enjoyment or pleasure. That's not my point. But I will tell you there's stuff that you can still do today that you might not be able to do in 5 years. And that's me being an optimist. Like I, you know, the world can still be here and the world has not ended and it can still be pretty fucking crazy, crazier than today. And I think it's probably headed that way. Right now, you can still do those things. You can go see a movie. You can take a girl out on a date. You can take your husband or your wife out on a date. You can still do those things. So while you can still do those things, my advice is do them. And if you've done all this stuff and you've taken care of business and you've got a pile of gold and cocaine and hookers and you're someplace in the Rocky Mountains and Galt's Gulch and you're living there with Ayn Rand and Miles Mulligan or whoever, as if I fucking care. If you've got everything you need and everything you want and you've got tons of extra resources, you can donate. Donate as much or as little as you want to. Okay? I don't know anybody that's not treading water, but if you happen to be a listener who isn't treading water and you want to donate, hell, everybody could use a little extra right now, right? But don't donate what you don't have. And it's okay to listen if you don't have money. That's why I beg for money at the end. It is July the 2nd, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. It's just after 7:30 a.m., fuck you. Even now, there are Kreslin folk still in their bed because their butts won't pucker till they feel the coffee cooking. Then they'll have their coffee. They'll make their way to the bathroom and have a bunctus, baby. Have a great rest of your Tuesday.